If Jesus be dead in the grip of a tomb, there'd be nothing for us but fear and doom. Life would be sad with no way to cope. Death would reign all without any hope. If Jesus be dead in the grip of a tomb, we'd have no future, only dark and gloom. No life after death, no eternity in sight, no hope, no joy, no Savior, no light. But thanks be to God, Jesus rose to life. The debt all paid, though sin was rife. His body lay in the tomb 3 days, then up from the grave his life was raised. Yes, thanks be to God, Jesus rose to life. He conquered death, all sin and strife. To those who believe, from death set free, with hope, with joy, their Savior to see. Isn't it wonderful to be redeemed because of a risen Savior? What would it mean for you if Jesus had not risen from the dead? Why do we rejoice? Because Jesus is alive. Why is it of utmost importance that Jesus conquered death? I would like to read this morning the resurrection account, and it's hard to know which one to read, but I would like to go to Matthew 28, and we would like to read the resurrection account as Matthew gives it to us. Matthew 28, we will read 1 through 10. It'd be interesting to read all of the accounts as the writers share them, but we won't take that time this morning. I trust that you have taken that time or will take that time. Matthew says in his account, he says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. How do we describe the resurrection? The resurrection is the greatest event in history. It is the most significant expression of the power of God on behalf of believers. And I want us to get that this morning, so I'm going to repeat it. It is the most significant expression of the power of God on behalf of believers. We like to talk about the power of God, and the power of God is a powerful thing. But the resurrection is the most significant expression of the power of God on behalf of believers. And I believe it maybe even goes beyond that. But yet, we have it this morning. It is the cornerstone of the gospel message. Really? It's all about the gospel. It's the resurrection. You know, no one saw it happen. No one was there when it happened. Now, we could maybe talk about that a little bit, because we know that there were soldiers there guarding the stone. So the soldiers were there, weren't they? But the Bible says that they became as dead men. Now, what information can you get from dead men? So I would say that no one saw it happen. No one was there when it happened. Many people saw the dead body of Jesus as he hung on the tree. There was crowds around, or hung on the cross. There was crowds around. They saw that. They saw Jesus dead on the cross. Many people saw that. People also saw the risen Savior. We have that in our Bible as well. The point is, the resurrection is an event you do not need to see. No Bible writer tries to explain the physical aspects of the resurrection. And the reason being is, there is no rational explanation for the resurrection. It does not need an explanation because it is a miracle. And I want to make that point also. The resurrection is a miracle. The resurrection is a supernatural happening. How it happens is not so important. The important thing is that it happens. It happened. We believe that. It is important. We believe that. You know, often we set out to prove the resurrection. So nobody was there. Nobody actually saw it happen. Did it really happen? There are many people that doubt it. There are many people that want to refute it. There are many people that say to Christians, you tell a sinner, Jesus rose from the dead. And they're like, really? Prove it. And so we set out to prove the resurrection. And if you do any reading or anything, you will find that there are many writings, there are bookshelves full of proofs of the resurrection. And that's a blessing to know that there are things that support the resurrection. But I'm saying this morning, and I want to hold up for us this morning, that we have one proof, and one sufficient proof, and it is the only proof that we need, and that is the Bible says that Jesus rose from the dead, for he is risen. We have it. We have it right here. And maybe that's too simple. And I know it really is simple. And if that disappoints you, I would plead with you to consider the quality of your faith, because it's the Bible. And I know, again, that can be refuted. And maybe we should put more effort into proving the resurrection. But what I want us to do this morning, what I want us to think about for a few moments, is not so much the fact of proving the resurrection, but what does the resurrection prove? We know that the resurrection happened. We believe that the resurrection happened. But now that the resurrection happened, what does the resurrection prove? And that's what I've titled this message, is what the resurrection proves. And we want to use the Bible and look at a few scriptures, look at some passages that tell us what the resurrection proves. What does the resurrection mean? What does the resurrection verify? What does the resurrection accomplish? Those are all different aspects of proving something. What does the resurrection prove? The resurrection, the first one, is the resurrection proves the Word of God is truth. What God says is truth. Jesus is who he said he is. What Jesus said came to pass. We read Matthew 28:6. And it says, the angel speaking to the women, he is not here, for he is risen as he said. What does that mean for us this morning? To know that what God said will happen. If you have your Bibles in front of you, John 2. Let's read a couple verses there that again bring this out. John 2. John 2:19-22. We have Jesus speaking. John 2:19 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, And wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Jesus, he spoke concerning his death. And there was misunderstanding surrounding that. But when his disciples later, they looked back and they thought about this, and they were it was confirmed in their mind. You know what? What Jesus said happened. What would it mean to you this morning if what God says would not happen? What would you do if you could not be sure that what God said is truth? How would you cope with life if you were not sure that what God says would indeed transpire? You know, it would shake us to the core. Because really, what would you have left to go on? And we know that we live in a world of much untruth. And it's hard to really know anymore who's saying what. What are they saying? Is it really truth? But we have the confidence this morning. We know that what God said, it will happen. I believe one of the hardest things of time and eternity is what we're talking about here this morning. The resurrection. The battle between right and wrong. Sin. Death. Do we know the power that is there? And it was up to Jesus to conquer this power. And yet, he said he's going to do it, and he did it. God said it will happen, and it did. Jesus conquered sin and death by the resurrection. This morning, what a blessing to know that everything God says is true and will happen. That's a blessing, but it's also a challenge. When you think of what God says, it will happen. Because of the resurrection, we know the Word of God is true. Second one, resurrection proves the deity of the Son of God. Jesus was God's Son. Turn with me to Romans 3. Chapter 1, we're going to read a couple verses there that bring this point out, that the resurrection proves the deity of the Son of God. Romans 1, 3 and 4, the writer says, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. If Jesus had not risen, it would mean that Jesus was not divine. We use the word divine, we use the word deity, and simply what that means is it is directly from God. It is something that is directly proceeding from God. Jesus had a direct connection with God. If Jesus had not risen, it would mean that Jesus was not divine. Death is stronger than humanity for all of us. As humans, we know that when death calls, there's nothing we can do. We will die. Death is stronger than humanity. Death holds man in the grave. Death proved that Jesus was human. However, death is weaker than the power of God. Jesus' ability to rise from the dead shows that he is divine. And again, we can go by scripture and knowing that Jesus rose from the dead means he was triumphant over death. He had power above and beyond the power of death. Jesus' ability to rise from the dead shows that he is divine. We know this morning, without a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus is God's Son. The third proof we have, the resurrection proves the completion of the salvation of God. The resurrection proves the completion of the salvation of God. Now we know, and we sometimes say this, that we're not completely saved until we're out of sin, we're in the presence of God. And however you want to label that, or however you want to say it. However, the point is, and the point I want to make this morning is, salvation would not be complete without the resurrection. And then we're in the book of Romans. I want to read a couple verses from Romans 4. Romans 4, 23 through 25. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, that's for us here today, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, talking about the resurrection, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. The ultimate goal of salvation is to change people from sinner to saint. Or as we have, the term here in verse 25 is justification. Salvation is so that man can be just as if he has not sinned. How can we be that way? It's only because of the resurrection of Jesus. It proves the completion of the salvation of God. You know, God started the plan of salvation way back in the beginning of time, after man fell. I believe he had in place the plan to save man. But what would it take to save man? It took the resurrection. The purpose of the resurrection was so man can be saved. You know, there are different parts to salvation. We need to repent of our sins. We need to confess our sins. We need to forsake our sins or surrender our lives to God. We need to believe. It talks about here believing in our heart. But you know, each one of those different aspects are not effective and they're not complete without the resurrection. Think about the Old Testament saints. You know, every year they put their sins under the blood. They killed another lamb and they sacrificed that lamb and the blood was for their sins. But their salvation was not complete without the resurrection. You know, there's another level to this. And it comes a little closer home to our hearts. And that is this: salvation. Just like salvation is not complete without the resurrection, your personal salvation is not complete unless you are raised to newness of life. And Romans talks about that also. It talks about being raised to newness of life, where we personally experience a resurrection. We're no longer dead, but we're raised to newness of life. You know, you can be sorry for your sins all day long, every day of your life. And there are many people who regret what they did. But until you die to yourself, you say no to the flesh, and you allow God to raise you to newness of life, you have not experienced the resurrection. Romans 6 says that we need to be planted together in the likeness of his death, and then we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Talks about the body of sin being destroyed and not serving sin. And then it also talks about being raised, not letting sin therefore reign in our mortal body. That's how we personally experience the resurrection. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Belief in the resurrection is essential to salvation. Remember, only because Jesus arose can we be saved from our sin. The next proof we want to look at is the resurrection proves the establishment of the church. Ephesians 1, I'd like to read a couple verses there that talk about this, again from the Bible. Ephesians 1:19 and What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. These verses point out the connection between the resurrection and Jesus being raised, and now he is the head over the body of believers. What a blessing and privilege to know our leader is alive. What other religion is there out there that can claim that? That their leader is alive. You know, many people gather today. And some gather because of a risen Savior, but some gather because they gather as a religion, but their leader is not alive. Jesus' presence is with us today as we worship. If we believe and accept Jesus as a Savior, we can be a part of his family, the church. Jesus, he died, and his followers thought they were abandoned. They thought they were left. But no, Jesus had a greater plan, and he did not leave them all alone on earth. He established a church where they could function with his presence in their heart through the Spirit. The reality is, if there is no resurrection, there is no church. Because of the resurrection, there is a church. Are we a part of that? Do we value that? Do we treasure that? The true church are those who have been given life because of the resurrection. There's another proof for us this morning in Acts 10. And this one may not be quite as exciting. And we might want to turn away from this one. But I believe that it is a proof of the resurrection that we need to think about this morning. Acts 10, verse 40 and 42. Talking about Jesus, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is Jesus, who was ordained of God to be the judge of quick, or the living, and dead. The resurrection proves the certainty of the judgment of God. All men will someday stand before God. There is no way to escape the judgment of God. Everyone, each one of us this morning, will stand before God. And we will answer for everything we have done. And God will divide between the sinner and those who have been redeemed by the resurrection. The question for us this morning is, where are we when it comes to that time? When God, through Jesus, and I'm not sure how that's all going to work, but it talks about Jesus, which was ordained of God to be the judge of between the living and the dead. And I believe that's talking about spiritual life or spiritual dead. Where do you find yourself this morning? John 5 has some other verses about that. We won't turn there, but it talks also about the fact that God has given some of this judgment over to Jesus. And I'm, again, not sure how that all works. But the fact this morning is the resurrection proves there will be a judgment. And it also proves that there will be no way to escape. We will all stand before God and we will answer for what we have done, the decisions we have made. And again, it's only because of the resurrection that this will happen. But there's also, we know that as the redeemed ones, we will too stand there And it's only because of Jesus that we can come before God and say, because of Jesus, you know, it's all because of Jesus and what he has done for us. And that brings us to the last proof I'd like for us to think about, and that is the resurrection proves the eternal bliss of the people of God. If we take the time now to prepare our heart for when we stand before God at that judgment, there is eternal bliss for those who have been redeemed by the resurrected Savior. 1 Peter 1, I have it written here, I'll read it for you, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." This morning, there is a place reserved for heaven, in heaven for you, and it's because of the resurrection. If you have accepted Christ as Savior, there is a place in heaven reserved for you. And I'm not sure how that is. If you have not, whether there is still a place, then it'll just be empty. I'm not sure how that will be. But we know that there is a place reserved in heaven to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Someday we will be resurrected from this world of misery and sin. No more to die. No more to struggle with the pressures of sin and of living life. We will be joined. We will be joined with our Redeemer, the one who conquered death, the one who could not stay in the tomb. And again, it's all possible because Jesus rose from the dead. The greatest man in history had no servants, yet they called him master. Had no degree, yet they called him teacher. Had no medicines, yet they called him healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today. His name is Jesus. Again, we want to exalt Jesus, our risen Savior. Let's kneel at this time for prayer.